Lord, accept our consecration. Receive our consecration. Lord, we commit it to your hands. Speak to us. All that is righteous to us. Lord, all that you must speak. Thank you, there is. Speak with your light, with your authority, and with your throne. This afternoon, establish your throne among us. With God and the Lamb, we may experience the flow from the throne that is of water of life. With the tree of life on both sides, oh Lord, we desire the supply of life. Bring us back to the throne, that we may live under the throne. Lord, this afternoon, we yearn for you and your speaking. Hear our prayer. Thank the Lord. We come to the fourth message of this series. Let us strengthen the matter of the application. 1997, Brother Lee. An outline regarding living out and working out the New Jerusalem. We need to become the New Jerusalem. We need to build the New Jerusalem. Concerning the New Jerusalem, it is not a physical city. It is not a lifeless physical city. In history, it is not that there are other theologians and Bible scholars that describe it this way. Regardless, they point us to the future. But Brother Lee urges today to live out and work out the New Jerusalem in our living. Our living, our working needs to work out the New Jerusalem and needs to become the New Jerusalem. Our work is to build the New Jerusalem. May we have these four phrases. May we all remember these four phrases. What is that? Number one, to live out the New Jerusalem, to work out the New Jerusalem, to become the New Jerusalem, we need to build the New Jerusalem. Today. Right now. So previously, Brother Lin said that the reality of today will become the appearing of that day. Philippians, Paul said we need to diligently pursue toward the goal, that I may attain the out resurrection from among the dead. So in life study, Brother Lee often asks, is this something we can attain in the future or today? Brother Lee said, today we need to obtain this goal. However, in other words, the out resurrection from among the dead, not only the goal, but it is also the reward. The full experience is the reward. So today, our application toward the New Jerusalem of this explanation is very important. We come to the fourth message of this interpretation. The brothers have already fellowship regarding the foundation, the entrances, and the wall. Today we move forward to the furnishings. Why are there furnishings? Let us see chapter 17. Page 17, sorry. That we can speak these accurately. The second line, it says, if a building is complete but has no furnishings, it is not useless. The God's building is in New Jerusalem. It has three processes, three types of furnishings to be completed. The three types of furnishings are the throne, the temple, and the lights. In a while, we will come into the details of every item. Let us see these three. These are furnishings. The throne, the temple, and the light. We have these furnishings. The building of God can be useful. We will come in through the, we'll enter into the outline. I'd like to give everyone a bird's eye view so that when we go into these details, we won't get lost. Let's go to page 19. The application of these furnishings. Let us see the first sentence. The three furnishings of the New Jerusalem are the throne as the center, the temple as the palace to hold the many kings who will be the reign in the new heaven and new earth, and the lamp with God as the shining light in which all can live and move. This is a very urgent and very accurate picture. Let us learn how to speak these. The first is the throne as the center, the temple as the dwelling place of the kings, and the lamp as the shining forth of God, so that we may all live and move. Let us come to Roman numeral 1 in the outline. Its throne. Point A, the throne of God and of the Lamb, the redeeming God. Number 1, founded on its base to be one with its base according to God's divine nature. Two, sisters. Three, altogether. Also, the source of its divine fellowship, signified by the street with its communication, flowing with its supply. Let's take a look at the truth. The throne is whose throne? Of God and of the Lamb. This shows that in eternity, there's one God, but this God is the redeeming God. God and of the Lamb are not two gods. However, of course, in Revelation 22, verse 1, verses 3 and 4, and there will no longer be a curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it. His slaves will serve him. In the beginning, it says, of God and of the Lamb. And at the end, it says, him. He will be served by his slaves. Four, it says, and they will see his face and his name will be on their foreheads. So we see that in the scripture, God and of the Lamb, this throne is not a love seat, but rather, there's one God, but this God in eternity will put his name on their foreheads. He wants his name to be God and of the Lamb, the redeeming God. And more unique is the temple. He says, there is no temple, because God and the Lamb are the temple. What about the Lamb? does not need the light of the sun, for the Lord God will shine upon them. And the lamp is the Lamb. So even light is the redeeming, shining God. So in my preparation of this message, we all need lots of studying. By 22, chapter 22 and 21, these three furnishings are all God and the Lamb. I believe that if the Lord gave Brother Lee a few more years, he would have developed this somewhat more. I really desire his speaking on this point, because speaking of redemption, our understanding is too narrow. Once we hear about redemption, we think of on the cross, the Lord flowing out his blood to accomplish judicial redemption. And through the judicial death, he bought us back. However, according to the high peak truths, we spoke yesterday of the God-man living. Isn't this a great price paid by the Lord? That God, according to his image, likeness, would take his man who was corrupted by Satan with sin and the law of sin and of death. God would become flesh to bring divinity into humanity. As he took from the manger all to the cross, living under the cross, shadow of the cross, the God-man living, Brother Lee used, had five standards. His five big standards is: one, he did not do anything of himself as the source. Two, he didn't speak his own words. Three, didn't do his own work, or did not seek his own will. And five, did not seek his own glory. This is altogether a big matter. And in Philippians, Paul said we need to desire what the Lord Jesus Christ desired. That is to be obedient even unto the death of the cross. Isn't this to take the fallen man Isn't this to take God's desired humanity, to bring that into humanity as the Lamb, in order to redeem man? I hope that Brother Lee would speak more. Today we cannot hear more of his speaking. So we should thoroughly enter in on his foundation, that the Lord would have mercy on us to bring us forward. In any case, let us see. Let us see the brothers share. What is the throne? The throne is of God and of the Lamb. What is the temple? The temple is the Lord God and the Almighty. What about the light? The light is God as the glory and the Lamb as the Lamb. Let's see what we just read. We spoke of the Lamb. Now we speak of administration and fellowship. Of course, we speak of the throne, which is administration. But what about fellowship? Because after the throne, it immediately speaks of the river of water of life flowing out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And on the two sides of this river, there is what? There is the tree of life, which describes a fellowship of life and supply of life. So the divine administration will bring in the divine fellowship. And this fellowship will bring us into further into the administration. The divine administration brings in the divine fellowship. The divine fellowship brings us deeper into the divine administration. So it is a positive, virtuous cycle. The more administration, the more fellowship. The more fellowship, the more administration. Good. Let us apply this. So speaking of the Lamb, in the collected works of Brother Ni and Lee, I sought out how to apply this. Let me share. Number one, it is in Brother Ni's collected works, 33 volume, 30 volume, 32, chapter 32. And Brother Lee's booklet on the Revelation. Mystery of the Ages. Jesus Nazareth allowed the Lamb to administrate, to carry out. This is because the Lord is absolutely obedient to authority that God placed authority on him. What is this? Satan is God's creation, the archangel, but he betrayed God. And he took his rebellious nature and brought it into man. So, on one hand, Satan was not obedient because he's full of rebellion, but the Lord became flesh and is described as the Lamb, because he is absolutely obedient. And by his submissive authority, he was submissive even unto death of the cross. So God raised him up and gave him the name above all names. So why was this given to the Lamb? Because the Lamb was obedient to God. So God put authority upon him. So in this message, Brother Ni gave a testimony. He mentioned that there was a period of time he often went to Emmy Barber to confirm, to complain. And Emmy Barber said to him, "You've come to me a few months. You often say Brother Wong is wrong. Actually, just even if I say Brother Wong is wrong, what does it have to do with you? Do you want to care about right or wrong? Or do you want to bear the cross? Is this the attitude of the Lamb?" She called out loudly, "Brother Ni, is this bearing the cross?" I immediately shed tears. I fell down. And from that time forward, I no longer accused Brother Wayne. Brother Ni, at a very young age, he learned this homework, this lesson. Brother Ni was someone under the authority. Emmy Barber was under the authority and brought Brother Ni under the throne. Brother Lee also asked, "Are we ones with a throne? Brothers and sisters, are we those with a throne? Are we under the throne?" Of course, Brother Lee, he hoped that we would have a throne. Perhaps in the past we didn't have a throne, but we need to pray to the Lord, "I'm willing to have your throne on me." Moving forward, we mentioned the Lamb. Let me read Brother Ni's collected works. This is volume 1, message 16. There's only one throne, the one of God and of the Lamb. God's name is always the Lamb that we would remember. There used to be sin on the world. God came to redeem man, to forgive sins. Man eating the tree of life and drinking of the water of life is because the Lord once was the Lamb. Let me read this. Let us not understand this as only Christ on the cross, shedding his blood for us to deal with sin, but rather his entire living was a God-man living. This dying toward the self, the natural life, living toward resurrection, living a godly life in resurrection, was his being the Lamb. So the Bible also says he was like a lamb taken to the slaughter. And he did not make any noise. Brothers and sisters, I hope to fellowship more on this point. In our living, is there a throne? Brother Lee's message, he mentions in other places, actually, if we take a look under God's light, we don't have much of a throne because our speaking is very loose, very daring, very, very caring about man's criticism. This means we're not under the throne. In other words, not being under the throne means not having the living water. Once we are done criticizing, doesn't matter who, whether it's our coworker or family member or the dear brothers and sisters, once we're done complaining or criticizing, where is the flow of life? We're all dead. So today, let us have the Lord's mercy. There are very many young ones here. And we hope that from Brother Ni and his lesson on life, we call the young generation to not only learn, but moreover to learn more deeply, because the Lord needs to come back. And he needs more brothers and sisters to rise up and to grow in life, to have the lesson of life. Understanding and discernment often causes us to be more in fear and trembling to live under the throne. We're afraid of speaking because we know that speaking of others, actually, especially the more we speak, the more we offend God. So brothers and sisters, may the Lord have mercy on us. Next is prayer. What is prayer? In our understanding, prayer is asking for a lot of God. But in Brother Lee's fellowship, prayer shows that it's no longer I. Every time, the hidden meaning, the intrinsic meaning of prayer is no longer I. When I pray to contact God, open to God. When I pray, I need to enter into the divine and mystical realm. When I pray, I come before the throne. So our prayer is a dying daily and a must-have experience. And our prayer toward all the saints, with all the saints, I encourage everyone every day, not just once a week, but every day, if possible, to have a companion and pray for God's economy, pray for God's authority, pray for all of the churches and pray for the recovery. Because when you pray like this, you'll discover this brings you to the throne. And it is no longer I as the center. However, in addition, when saints come to us, when they touch us, what is our reaction? This also speaks whether or not we are under the throne. Brother Lee spoke often in his message. Often we serve in ones. When we fellowship with others, we just give recommendations, suggestions to others according to our experience. But without even recommending, we don't have an attitude. Rather, we just say, just do this and it'll be fine. This offends the throne. Because we became the throne and we brought the Lord off the throne. So little by little, the more serving ones have been learning, should learn to all come before the throne of God and of the Lamb. Amen. Also, in our experience, may we let others see. You know, if we practice, we'll let others see we are under authority. Matthew 8, verse 9. The captain, the Lord said, I will go. And he said, you do not need to go. You only need to speak a word. For I am a man under authority. I also am a man under authority. What does this mean? He saw that the Lord is a man under authority. So he said, I also am a man under authority. I have soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. You don't need to go to my house. All you need to do is speak one word, and my servant. And Jesus said, I've not seen such faith in Israel. Brothers and sisters, are we under authority? Let's do an experiment. I believe under the previous message on prophesying, what is the length of prophecy? 3 minutes. Do you think this is a limitation on you? Or is this a help? Actually, this matter shows us, are we living under the throne? 1 Corinthians 14 says, we can all prophesy. So we'll say, oh, we can all prophesy. But we need to pay attention to Paul saying, but if you're prophesying, others receive a revelation next to you, you need to sit down and let the others prophesy. Because spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. So, well, but definitely don't use this excuse. My burden is not done. Let me finish. How can I stop? Why do you need to restrict others? Because the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. 3 minutes. Actually, is to help us coming a channel of time. We are under restriction, under authority. We'll become a channel in order to further supply others. So in my district, I often need to take out my phone to do what? To track the time. 3 minutes. And then raise your hand. Brothers and sisters, would you be offended? Oh, I'm afraid brothers and sisters would be offended. So one. The first one that is to have my hand raised is my spouse. After the meeting, I apologize to her. Say, I don't mean to offend you. However, if we are under restriction, then we'll be a pattern to others. We need to have an outline of our prophecy and to inspect it. Is it really 3 minutes? Thank the Lord, in our district, a lot of brothers and sisters are writing outlines and are prepared. So when we come to the prophesying meeting, many are very eager. Sometimes we could see others want to stand up and others are waiting. So if someone is prophesying very long, others will not have an opportunity. One person prophesies for 3 minutes, 20 can prophesy. If we all receive some restriction, more can enter into function. Please do not be offended by me. In this training, when you come to share, we must say sometimes there is a throne, oftentimes there's not really the throne. Isn't that right? How about when the piano goes and we keep speaking? If one person does this, then the others do. We'll think, oh, well, if you're not limited, why should I be limited? And the serving ones are afraid to offend you, so you will stop coming to meetings. So isn't it hard to serve the Lord? But in other words, there's no need to offend anyone if we are all under the throne. If we are under the throne, the result is that there is a flow of living water. And from the throne, it flows out. The more we receive restriction due to living under God's authority, the more we're willing to become a channel of living water to supply others. Oh, may the Lord have mercy. And may we have more experiences of the throne. Let us continue. There is center of God's glory. Let's read page 17. The throne has one source. It has one source, and the throne is that source. There's one goal. And the throne is that goal. He is the source and he is the goal. The source is the source, the goal is the goal. If the source and the goal are all in the same place, then actually it is. Throne is the goal, it is the source, but it is also the goal. Let's go down. This administration. It is not only the source of the administration, but also fellowship. It is also the fellowship of God's redeemed. This fellowship, the more it flows, the throne is the source, but it is also the goal. The more we experience the throne, more experience the divine fellowship, it'll bring us further into the throne. If you find that your church life is a little bit chaotic, of course, not too chaotic, just a little. If it's lacking in the fellowship of life or the situation of life, may the Lord have mercy on us to first live under the throne. When there are those first under the throne, in our church life, in our personal life, we will see the living water flowing out. And the more living water flowing out, the more it will bring others back to the throne. So may the Lord have mercy on us in our individual living, in our service. May we be full of the throne in any place, then we may be seen as those under authority. Now we come to the temple. Let us read. The temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb, the redeeming God. One, the Holy of Holies is evidenced by its dimension. This temple, we've already applied this verse. I did not see the temple because God and the Lamb are the temple. And it is this city and its dimensions, 120 stadia. So it is a cube. The Holy of Holies in the Bible is a cube. It is in the tabernacle, 10 times 10 by 10 cubits. And in the temple is 20 by 20 by 20. In Revelation, the volume is 12,000 stadia. It uses the dimensions as proof. For God's redeemed to worship and serve him, to be the dwelling place of God's serving elect. So concerning the tabernacle, it is God as the bride living within man as the God as the bridegroom living within man as the bride. God's serving elect needs to dwell inside of God, to live in the temple. But furthermore, there's a unique point. Point B, as the house palace of God the Father, who is the King of Kings and his household, his many sons, his royal family, who are the co-kings with the Father to be its reign, and who are the priests who serve God. Hence, they are the royal priesthood, the kingly priesthood. This point is very special. I'd like more time to develop this. Revelation 21:22, chapter 22, verse 1, it speaks of the throne and of the Lamb. Chapter 21, it speaks of the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb as the temple. And verse 3 says, his slaves will serve him. The footnote says the service is serving as priests. So in the New Jerusalem, all of his redeemed elect are both kings and priests. There is a very unique point here that in the book of Kings, chapter 6 to chapter 8, speaks of Solomon building the temple and building the kingship, the palace. In this footnote, you will see that it uses the same materials. However, at that time, the temple was for priests to live in. It was for those who served the God, whereas the palace was where Solomon, as the king, carried out his administration. These two were separated. But in the New Jerusalem, we should both be kings as well as priests. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, we should be a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood. This is ultimately consummated in the New Jerusalem. The temple is also the palace. Those who live are those who co-reign with God as kings. So today we need to experience this, to reign in life. In our past trainings, actually, we had this point to reign in life. I very much admired this point. Let us play this video. To reign in life, I hope that. On the one hand, Brother Lee spoke of reigning in life. When he spoke of this, he spoke the first thing is we need to live under authority. It is not to have authority over others, but to live under the divine authority. I found that in 1997, in the International Chinese Speaking Conference, Brother Lee spoke of experiencing God's organic salvation means is to reign in life. And there are three messages that detailed way, just as this outline, it expanded on this matter. This message shows us, this phrase comes from the life study. When we reign in life, we are in Romans 6, 16. So when Brother Lee spoke of Romans 5, reigning in life, he saw that in 5:17, it proved Romans chapter 6, all the matters of chapter 6. We need to memorize these matters. The more we consider these matters, the more we muse these matters, they'll slowly become our experience. How do we reign in life? Number one, to die with Christ. So number one is to die with Christ. It is absolutely, reigning in life is absolutely not being under Christ. So we die with Christ. So we need to be crucified with Christ. Two, to live with Christ. We also need to live in the likeness of the Lord's resurrection, in this union. In Romans chapter 6, this is our experience of reigning in life. Hallelujah. I hope that we would memorize all of these 4 points. The more we muse on these, the more we'll be shined upon. Oh Lord, I have not died with Christ enough, and moreover have not lived with Christ enough. Number three, in all experiences, being overcoming. Romans 8. What then shall we say to these things? But in all these things we more than conquer through him who loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, we need to diligently serve God and to rise up and to complete God's word, build the church, supply the saints. God was diligently serving. The more he had sufferings, the tribulations, but in these tribulations, he overcame. And in other words, he reigned in life and had the experience. Number four, being grafted with Christ, to live in the grafted life. Romans 11 speaks of this. In other words, we need to be constantly grafted. Christians experience often being in the heavens in the meetings, but after the meetings, some sisters say when we return to home, we just return to hell. Why do some say this? The environment changed. However, this doesn't have to happen. We need to be grafted. Why do we think this often happens? Actually, we probably don't understand that we haven't been grafted. Grafting is a union. Of course, we've been joined. Actually, when I was young, we did not have these life studies. I had to speak these messages, so we had to collect a lot of these different materials. There was one message I really liked, which was the exchange life. However, when I finished speaking, I felt like it wasn't quite right. How come when I am in the meeting, I exchange a heavenly life, but after the meeting, I exchange to a earthly life? Thankfully, this is not the case, because we who are joined to the Lord are one spirit. And the more we are grafted with him, the more we can live in light. So we need to turn quickly. Yesterday, didn't Brother Chen speak? We need to quickly turn. Well, we need to apologize 3 days afterwards. Instead of two, or what is better is 2 days, or 1 day, or 5 minutes. Actually, better is just as we're about to offend someone, we just turn to our spirit. So I'll give you a secret of the married life. When you're about to say something or do something, just turn, go wash your hands, and go call on the Lord. We need to have we gotta have this atmosphere, this politeness. Don't tell the other person, don't leave. Thank the Lord. Grafting. Once we are grafted, we can reign in life. Next page. Romans chapter 15. It is the master key to unlock all blessings. Romans. We put all this on the projector. Number 5. Not establishing our own righteousness, but establishing God's righteousness. We need to strengthen this. Not building my own righteousness, but God's righteousness. Point 6. Receiving Christ as God's righteousness. God's righteousness is Christ as man's righteousness. So Paul wanted to be found in Christ by others. This requires our exercise. That the more we live in Christ, others would see the Christ in us. Point 7. Romans 12, 13. In our consecrated living, we need to be, we need a unique reality and a unique richness. Our body is temporal, so we have to consecrate our bodies. We have to learn how to be restricted by brothers and sisters. Sometimes I find I'm very weak. What should I do? Often at 4 o'clock, I have to pray. At 3:45, I'm just in a dilemma, finding excuses not to go. Well, we don't need to find excuses. Just put on our clothes, ride our bicycle, and get there. That's to present our bodies. Then our soul will be renewed. And our mind will be renewed, transformed, and will be suitable. And we are fellow members. Everyone has our own gift, so we will use the gift given to us by God. Moreover, we will be rich in spirit. These are all experiences of reigning in life. Day by day, week by week. Brother Chen said we need to sleep early, rise early, get revived, pray to the Lord. Today, who do you want me to preach the gospel to today? Amen. Oh Lord, who do you want me to preach the gospel to today? Who will you take me, the shepherd, And who will you shepherd today? We already sought after that in the morning. We don't need to wait until the weekend or Friday night. Feel, oh no, we haven't contacted the brothers and sisters. Start calling her in an urgent way. May I visit you? He will say, oh, I'm sorry. I'm already on vacation. If I call another person, say, how about we pray? That person will say, I'm busy. By the weekend, people will find people are often not available. But they'll be very available in the middle of the week. They might think, why don't you find me in the middle of the week? We did not, that means we did not present our bodies. So we need to sleep early, rise early, have morning revival, and seek out who God wants us to shepherd. So in receiving the saints, we need to be very general. If we see that some only eat vegetables and they come to our meeting, we see that they are having a hard time, would you tell them to eat meat? This happened in my meeting hall. There's one who has been a vegetarian for many years. His sister keeps saying, oh, there's no problem, there's no problem. So one day he suddenly almost went to the hospital because he wasn't used to eating meat. We need to be very general. And we need to overcome our habits and our ways of judging others. We need to help the saints come into the fellowship of all of the churches. We need to bring them into the fellowship of the body of Christ. Today in Lord's Recovery, we have churches in all places. And we stress blending, so we need to bring all churches into the fellowship of the body of churches. If there are needs in other localities, we need to pray for them. And also some financial offering. The Lord touches us. So as we follow the apostles, we need to reign in life with all the saints. In the blending, this will help us reign in life. Roman numeral 3, it's light. Its light is God as the glory and the Lamb as the lamp, the redeeming and shining God. The illuminating glory of God is the light within Christ. The redeeming Christ is the lamp containing the light. 3, the entire city of the New Jerusalem is the diffuser, diffusing the divine light over the nations outside the city. B, as the unique eternal divine light in which the redeemed elect live and move within the city, needing not the natural light, the sun and the moon created by God, nor the artificial light made by man. First verse is Romans Revelation saying that city did not need a lamp because it had God and the Lamb as the lamp. The city has no need of the sun or of the moon that they should shine in it, for the glory of God illumined it. And in 22 verse 5, and night will be no more. They have no need of the light of a lamp and of this light of the sun, for the Lord God will shine upon them. So here it speaks of two kinds of light. One is the shining of the sun and the moon. That's natural light. And the lamp is man-made light. So today we need to exercise. We need to have light. This light determines whether or not we have an understanding as we do things. Oftentimes, this understanding comes from natural sources, whether we're democratic or in our race, our environment, something that's man-made, such as our education. So in the church life, there is much complaining or criticizing. That comes from this kind of sun or moon or light. Today we need to ask, what does the Bible say? What does God's word say? What does God's thought say? What does the high peak truth say? Because we must, in this way, come out of our man-made and natural light to turn toward the godly light. Oftentimes our speaking just slips out and it shows that we don't have enough light because it is very natural. Times our speaking might be very high and educated, very eloquent, but obviously has no light. So brothers and sisters, in the Lord's recovery, as we prepare for the Lord's coming, we need this kind of seeing to help us experience this godly light and godly revelation. Let me bring up some points that will show us how much we need this light. One is in the past decades, as Brother Lee spoke, of the local churches being the process and the body of Christ being the goal. This needs to become our light. Amen. The local churches are the process. Body of Christ is the goal. Of course, we need to have a local church. There are no built-up local churches. It is not solid. So we need to be blended in the localities. However, at the same time we are building, we need to realize the body of Christ is the goal. Actually, where can we see we don't have enough light? Because when we come together and when we come to blend, we'll ask, oh, let us introduce our church, your church, and then we get exposed. And when we introduce ourselves, we say, oh, my church is special. Other sister will say, I come from this church, and my church is also kind of special. How come you're emphasizing your special? What about the seven churches in Revelation? What was special about those? All of the uniquenesses were negative. So if you like to emphasize your specialness, or do you like to emphasize we are the same in the universal church, but we are not the same by force, or rather by the divine revelation, seeing that we are in God's thought, in God's revelation, God's expression, saying, don't we need God's light for this? When we come to children's education, when we think of parenting, what is our difficulty? What kind of education do we give our kids? Often it is just light, and it is sunlight and moonlight, whether it's natural light or the education we receive. Lord, brothers and sisters, we need to have a godly education. What is the biggest glory of our kids? Being the CEO? I really hope we really like this, but we need to have God's revelation. May the Lord's blood cover me. In Taiwan, we exercise the God-man living in the homes. I have a deep impression. 1 year, my daughter, which is in a college, in high school, third year, and middle school, third year, we have a home meeting. But because they need to take exams, and our daughter's grades are not that good, she'll sometimes say, after we sing and read and pray, she will let her go study. And my daughter will say, no, I can't. He said, this sense of value that you built up has been shattered by those words you just said. He said, your word has shattered my value system. We need to have God's light and God's word. Once God's word is open to us, it shines. We need to emphasize the blending of the body of Christ in God's ordained way. We have some sayings like going out and knocking on doors. It does not have any effect. So many go out to knock on doors, but there's no results. Let me ask brothers and sisters, what concept is this? This is called the sun and the moon's light. Actually, what is the biggest impact of knocking on doors and preaching the gospel? It is all members functioning and the building up of the body of Christ. Of course, when you go knock on doors, it looks like the dumbest tactic. But oftentimes, it is the most useful tactic. Contact cold doors. When you knock on doors and there's the spirit of the gospel in the church, then naturally we will contact warm doors in the church. We often say, oh, cold doors aren't effective, warm doors are effective. But after a while, very few contact warm doors, so we need to change our concept. I need to stop here. Brothers and sisters, we need God's light. We need to pray to the Lord. Lord, lead us, that we may experience the throne as the center and the temple as the palace, and that we may reign in life and experience God's light in that natural light.